king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guest. Well, our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald. Cal, how you doing?
Very good, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, and Cal supports Radio Liberty, and we support Cal, and Cal actually sells gold and silver, and we usually talk about economics and what's going on in the markets. Lots of exciting things are happening, and of course we've been talking for many years about the coming time when of course we were going to begin to contract our economy, where we would probably be going into a period of inflation and maybe even hyperinflation before the Depression sets in. So where do you think we are in the economic cycle?
Well, the problem of inflation and hyperinflation has certainly aggravated itself or increased. Although media and the Fed is masking it all, they come out and say that they're very concerned about inflation, and that's why they're not raising rates, but they're extremely concerned about it, and they're doing what they can do by printing bales and bales of money to try to keep the economy going. So it's a pretty bad place.
Well, of course, the thing is that they're just pouring money out of the present time. Our friend Bob Chapman, you know, says probably about 11-12% actual increase in the money supply. When you take sometimes all the credit that's being created, you may be getting up to 15-20%, and all the countries of the world are doing it, because why shouldn't they? I mean, after all, it's all fiat money, it's all paper money, and you just keep printing more and more money, and you artificially value your money. If you want to sell your products overseas, you just drop the value of the money, and if you want to buy more, as we do here, why, we keep the value of our dollar way above where it ought to be, and it's all artificial. But you can only keep this going for so long. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Well, absolutely true. It's amazing it's still going on, but we have a bit to go yet before the dollar collapses, and of course they're masking that too as best they can.
Well, I really think it's rather interesting that apparently over in Japan, Toyota and Nissan had to actually cut back the production of cars this last month in April, because they just weren't selling over here in the United States, and they weren't selling in Japan. And, of course, I think Honda is still doing fairly well, but certainly nowhere near as well as it has in the past. I talked to people back in Detroit, Michigan today. A woman told me that the Ford is closing down one of their last large plants there and laying off another 15,000 people. I mean, Detroit, lots of areas there, just sort of like a disaster area. I mean, whole streets where the houses are all boarded up. I mean, you can buy a good house there for $10,000, but nobody wants to live there because there are no jobs. A lot of the houses are going for a lot less than the value of the wood that's in the houses, and they're being auctioned off. But you're not hearing about it elsewhere. They don't want the American people to know what's really going on in our industrial areas, as our leaders are intentionally transferring our manufacturing jobs and outsourcing our jobs throughout the world to lower the living standards of the American people. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Cal Grunwald. Cal, they said they're doing a great job of keeping the price of gold and silver down, aren't they?
Well, that's literally amazing, too. I was on the phone today with somebody who said he just couldn't believe how the central bankers have the power to manipulate gold and to keep it down. And, of course, it got fairly close to 700, and that's like a psychology number. And they've been working hard on it ever since. Got it down to 653. Now it's back up to 662. I don't know if it's going to continue on its way up, but it's accomplishing its purpose. Most people are just lulled to sleep, and they figure, well, it's gold going down, it must not be any good, you know.
Well, it was very interesting to see that silver made a good move today. And I don't know where it closed, but it this morning it was certainly up.
Yeah, it was 1347 it closed today.
All right, and of course, then silver is beginning to move and leaving gold behind it. And Chris, what do you think? Do you think that silver, you know, will at least temporarily outperform gold?
Well, it will, and ultimately, in the end, it will too. And it's amazing. I talked to people, and just about everybody is talking about how good silver is and how much more money they're going to make, you know, on silver. And I continually try to teach people that, you know, it's not about making money. It's about having something to barter with the silver, and then, of course, to preserve wealth with the gold. And mobility is going to be very, very important. And if you have a lot of silver, hundreds of pounds of silver, or, you know, 75 or 100 pounds of silver, you're not going to be able to take it with you if you have to leave quickly. And people just are so programmed into thinking, making money and investment potential and upside potential, that they can't see reason, you know, in the middle of it all.
Well, I think that these are going to be very, very difficult times. And I think that, tragically, most people are really not prepared for this, because the traditional rules that deal with financing and stocks, none of this really is being followed anymore, because it's all being manipulated. And they have people that get in there, and they violate all the rules. They simply run the stocks up and run the stocks down. And you know, it's like with the oil cartel. Cartels are illegal, and yet our oil companies work with the cartels, and they artificially raise the price of oil, and nothing's ever done to them. So certainly the laws that have been on our books for many years are not being enforced, and as a result, we have a very, very artificial approach to almost everything economic that's happening today. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald, and we're simply talking about what's happening from the economic point of view. And we find that certainly across the country, they continue to actually ship our factories overseas. And those that they don't ship overseas are transferring ownership from American corporations to Japanese or Chinese or German or English or Spanish corporations. And even much of our infrastructure of our society, the Chicago Skyway, the Ohio Turnpike, the Jersey Turnpike, they're all being sold off to foreign groups. And, of course, they've been bought and paid for by American taxpayers. The states are selling them off so they can raise the money, so they can keep spending and spending and spending and paying off all their debts without having to raise taxes, which they really can't do without forcing people to leave their countries, their states. And all of this is going to end up eventually where so much of the infrastructure of the United States will be owned by foreigners. Are people concerned about that sort of thing, Cal?
Well, I shouldn't laugh, but people don't know anything about that. They're totally ignorant. And they just, you know, as long as they have, you know, a job, or as long as they're getting a pension or Social Security or, you know, whatever income they have, they really don't care what's going on. The media now is getting more and more deceitful, more propaganda, more lies. And, of course, the government has to do that in order to keep people in the dark. And so it's getting, you know, more deceit all the time, more misinformation. So the average public, they don't know anything of what's happening.
Well, I think that people really need to understand that there is an organized, concerted effort to destroy the economy of the United States, to move our factories out of the country, to move our better jobs out of the country, to bring in other people who can take middle level and even some of the higher paid jobs, people who work at a lower salary. And I wonder if we have any listeners out there who've run into this, who've lost their jobs because either people have been brought in from other countries, or these jobs have actually been moved to other countries where the major factories, formerly American corporations, have now shifted their base of operation.
I talked to a man today whose wife had worked for a major corporation for 34 years, and they just moved their factory to China. So she's out of a job, and now he had to go back to work, and it's happening, just like you're saying, it's happening.
Well, did she get a pension out of it? You know, it was her, at least a pension.
Well, these corporations are reneging on their pensions. You know, if they become bankrupt or default, all the pension money is gone too. And General Motors, they got in trouble for that years ago, and it's doubtful if they even have 10 cents on the dollar on their pension money left.
And of course, then what they're doing is they're transferring it to a pension guarantee corporation created by the United States. And it says as long as too many corporations don't transfer their pension obligations to federal agency, it'll be all right. But more and more of the corporations are doing it. They don't have anything to lose. They go into a temporary bankruptcy. They can unload their pension obligations. And pretty soon, this federal agency doesn't have the money to pay it off either, and so they're going to have to, you know, pay off maybe a 50 cents on the dollar, 40 cents, 30 cents, 20 cents on the dollar. And the people who thought all their life that they were going to have a pension suddenly wake up, and they're 70, 75 years of age, to find out that their dream has become a nightmare.
Yeah, that's very true. And When I talk to people on the phone, I'm getting pretty blunt and pretty firm with people, because they said, look, you've got X number of dollars in the stock market or the bank, and unless you turn that into something tangible and have it with you when they close the bank doors, you're going to have nothing. And it's extremely foreign to people to even think like this, because it's like a survival mode. It's like you went off the deep end, and, you know, and then you say, well, if I turn it into gold and silver and cash, what if I get robbed? Or what if there's a fire? And, you know, so then they're thinking, just like the government has programmed them to think for all these years, to leave it in uncle's, you know, pocket and leave it behind the bank doors or, be, you know, in Wall Street, and it's going to be safe there. Even though these people, they don't trust the government, but yet when it comes right down to it, they will not make the move to do something to protect their wealth and to turn it into something tangible. It's amazing to me the depth of the brainwashing. I hate to say it that way, but that's really what it is. And people are just not willing to do what it takes to protect themselves.
Well, I think that most people find it difficult to believe that our banks wouldn't be there, or that the money we would get back from the banks would not be worth what it was when we put it into the banks. But we only need to look and see what's happening in Rhodesia today, where the government that was installed by Henry Kissinger there back in 1980 has created an inflation rate of about 3,700% a year. That's over 300% a month, and of course that's over, what, 10% a day. You know, so the inflation rate's 10% a day. And people, as soon as they get their paycheck, they got to go out and spend it, because, of course, by tomorrow it's going to be worth 10% less. People cannot understand what happens when, of course, the currency of the realm has been effectively destroyed. And yet we're doing everything we can here in the United States and all the other nations of the world to actually bring about the demise of not only the American dollar, but of the currencies of so many other nations. Now, these are historical facts. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just trying to point out to people that they're going to have to think beyond what they're ordinarily being told, because the day of financial reckoning is coming. Our friend Bob Chapman has pointed out that Carlyle, which is, of course, one of the large corporations, which we are not very fond of, it's run by Frank Carlucci and James Baker III, George Herbert Walker Bush and Kissinger and all the usual suspects were associated with it, but it's made billions of dollars since it was formed in the early 1990s. But the interesting thing is that they have come out with a report saying that The inflation will continue about a year and a half, maybe 2 years at the most, and then, of course, comes the day of reckoning, the depression that will follow. So do you think that that's a fairly good analysis?
Well, extremely accurate, and I tell the story somewhat frequently simply because it's a pretty stark reminder that probably about a year ago I was talking to one of my main suppliers in New York City, and if you remember the story, maybe not, but some of the listeners might not have heard it or remember it, but he was taking the subway home one night, and a well-dressed, distinguished-looking gentleman sat down beside him, and they struck up a conversation about, you know, the economy and world currencies and the dollar, and this man started expounding on things that he'd really never even considered before, and he was saying that the Federal Reserve has a 12-member board, and six of the board members have determined to drop the dollar another 20% to 30% as soon as possible. And he said if they continue dropping the dollar, as they have been since that time, within a year and a half to 2.5 years, we'd have a dollar crisis where the dollar would fail and be worthless. Now, that was a year ago, and what you're saying dovetails with that exactly, and what's happening now is that, as you know, we're printing money, you know, by the bales. I mentioned the other day we sent 363 tons of money, you know, amounting to about $10 billion to Iraq, and it disappeared once it got over there. And the worst thing about it was all counterfeit money. And the banks in this country have been instructed to, you know, when it gets over here, to take it and then just replace it with good money. You know, the amount of corruption is just getting so immense. So this is what's going, this is what's really going on, and the only way they're keeping the country going is, as you said, by extending credit and printing money. All the jobs, all the good jobs are gone, and we're just, you know, we're just living on activity, that's all.
Well, you know, what's so interesting is that the Japanese and the Chinese are keeping the value of their currency down so that their products are more competitive throughout the world. The United States is keeping the value of its dollar up so that we can purchase more throughout the world, and yet, of course, the real value of our dollar should be far lower than it is today because there's so many of them out there and there's absolutely nothing behind them. But, you know, and of course, we would be far better off if we were to lower the value of our dollar so that we could compete with these other countries that are doing exactly the same thing. But our leaders refuse to do that. Our exports are certainly falling off, and by next year, China will be the largest exporting nation in the world, and America will then move to another point now, to the second position as the second largest exporter in the world. And I think it's only a matter of time before the entire exporting basis of our nation is gone. I read a fascinating editorial written by a liberal writer who was talking about going to a major university where they were presenting doctoral degrees from this very, very famous university. And he was noticing that all of the people who were getting the doctorates were Chinese, Japanese, Indian. There weren't any Anglo-American names there. How happy he was when one Anglo-American came up and got his doctorate degree in engineering or something. And the whole idea was we're going to have a brain drain. These people are going to go back to their countries of origin, and of course they're not going to be here for the next generation to develop our scientific technology, which is the only edge we have over the rest of the world. And when we lose our edge in science, why, we lose our ability to be productive with no manufacturing base. The United States becomes a third world nation in a sea of other third world nations. Well, Cal, go ahead and pick the story up there.
Well, again, it's very important to note that the Eastern cultures.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
For Liberty or 464-8295. We talked about the fact that within this last week to 10 days, Argentina and Brazil announced that they were no longer going to peg their currency to the dollar as a foundation for the value of their currency. Rather, they were going to a basket of currencies up from South America. And I think we're finding increasingly throughout the world that nations are turning away from the dollar because they know we're the biggest debtor nation in the world. They know the dollar is overvalued. They'd like to get out of the dollar. And many of them, of course, are sending their agents to America to buy things up. They've got all these dollars. They don't want to dump them and cause a run on the dollar because that would cause them to lose the value of what they have. So they've taken that advice of Gerald Ford during the 1970s, mid-1970s, when they were talking about inflation. They said, buy America, buy America. So they're buying up America, and foreign corporations, foreign governments, foreign investors are coming in with massive amounts of dollars and buying up our nation. And certainly that's one of the things that's has held up at least the commercial real estate market, but not so much the private real estate market, which is still continuing in most places in the country contract. The housing bubble has burst, and now it's just a matter of how soon the whole thing begins to implode, because it was being maintained by the Federal Reserve, and specifically Alan Greenspan, encouraging people to take out adjustable rate mortgages, knowing full well that the majority of those people would eventually end up losing their homes. But it was an expedient thing to do to keep the good times rolling for just a little bit longer. And the irresponsibility of financial advisors to be giving these adjustable rate mortgages to people who really could not afford to buy a house, who would not be able to make the payments on the house down the line. And I really fear so many people are going to end up losing their homes and perhaps much more. Have you run into much of that, Cal?
Well, I have. There's just there's a rash of foreclosures. I haven't read any recent statistics other than, you know, there was a town in Colorado that had over a 35% foreclosure rate. Again, it's like, you know, Detroit. I talked to a lady in Detroit about a year ago, and she said the unemployment rate is over 50% already, and that was a year ago. You just mentioned now that Ford was, you know, shutting down one of their factories, and 15,000 people were losing their jobs and houses boarded up, and this is taking place in different parts of the country, and, of course, the media is hiding it all. And that's another scary part.
And I certainly agree with that. And I think that I hope that if you, you know, have a loan on your home, you get it paid down as much as you can, or get it adjusted so that you're going to be able to continue making the payments on that house. That's the biggest thing. I mean, I think a lot of people, of course, gambling that they're not going to lose their job. But if you've got big payments to make on your house, and you lose your job eventually down the line, sooner or later, well, you're going to lose that house. So begin making your preparations now for the very difficult times that do lie ahead. I mean, we are going to be facing something, I think, far worse than the Great Depression of 1929. And, of course, what happened then was that suddenly people just quit buying. People began to get concerned. People had all the sewing machines, all the washing machines, all the various refrigerators that they could use. They didn't need new ones. They stopped their buying. They get concerned about going further into debt. And as a result of that, of course, why the factories began to close down. There were less jobs. And it just started this snowball effect. And I think we're beginning to see the influence of that here in the United States. People are living on credit cards, and now the charge for credit card debt goes up. In other words, it costs you more and more to borrow money on your credit cards, and then pretty soon it gets to the point where you're paying most of your money just to service the debt on your credit card, and you're never getting it paid off. And this is what happens during the latter part of one of these cycles. Well, right now, they're still churning out the money. They're printing money as fast as they can, expanding the monetary supply. And according to Bob Chapman, the monetary supply is increasing 11 or 12% here in the United States. And the government says, oh, it's too expensive to come up with those figures. You know, the M3 doesn't mean anything. Just trust us. Everything's fine. And, of course, you trust them at your peril. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest this evening for this hour is Cal Grunwald, and Chris. He talks to a lot of people who've learned about him through our program. Do you get many people who actually do listen to our programs who get in touch with the Cal?
Yes, it's a fair amount, although, as I mentioned before, most people are asleep. Once in a while I get a call. Response is down simply because of the psychology of it all. And, the people who have bought gold and silver, they're sitting on the sidelines, waiting to see what happens. And and the rest of the people are asleep. Once in a while, I get a call. I was talking to a man the other day who bought 5 bags of silver, of junk silver. And, of course, junk silver, those are the dimes, quarters, and half dollars that were legal tender in our country up until 1964. They were 90% real silver. So he's got 5 bags of silver, and I explained to him, as I do with everybody, I said, silver is essential for barter. You want to get something small, like a loaf of bread or a dozen eggs or a gallon of milk, to have a silver coin when the dollar collapses is going to be perfect to use in a barter situation. You don't have to worry about getting change. You can buy these small items. But you have to store it, and you have to be mobile. And 5 bags of silver, they're 55 pounds apiece. That's 275 pounds. So if you have to leave in a hurry, you're going to leave your mountain of silver, and you're going to go out the door. So that's why I'm encouraging people now to buy gold rather than, a lot of silver. You can always pick up some silver later. Silver is in shortage, but gold is in a severe shortage.
Well, there is already a shortage of gold. We see these major banks actually going ahead and selling out 20 tons of gold and 30 tons and 50 tons. Chris, I always want to know, who's buying 50 tons of gold at a crack?
Well, that's the other central banks are buying it. It never gets out to the public. You never hear of, a private investor or, a corporation or anything like that. They don't buy it. Spain sells gold and, Britain buys it, or Argentina or Russia. All they do is just shuffle it among the central banks. That's all they do. And it's just an illusion created by the bankers to convince people that gold is worthless. And, why would a central bank unload 50 or 100 tons of gold if they didn't think it was worthless? But they don't tell you that another central bank bought it. I was telling a man today, all they do is, the gold never changes the vault. They just shift the tag, that's all.
They move it around a little dolly from one place to the other. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Cal Grunwald. And, of course, if you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Cal, would you like to get your telephone number, your website out, so people would like to get in touch with you, get that great information that you have to offer, that you offer to people? Why don't you get your name, telephone number, website out there?
My website is www.goldandsilverexchange.info. That's goldandsilverexchange.info. And my phone number is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. I have an updated website. It's been there for maybe a couple of months, but I have a lot of my paper, my 33-page paper, on my website in different sections. I've written a 33-page paper and, exposing the scams in the coin industry, and I'm learning by people telling me that it's really the only thing out there that people can access or read that will educate them about, the bad things that the coin industry does. I had somebody tell me the other day that they were just shocked. They thought the coin industry was the most upright and honest industry, in the country. And I said, well, just the reverse is true. And most of the scam artists and the charlatans end up in gold and silver companies talking to people and taking their fortunes.
Well, we've had some people that, either wanted to come on and advertise with us or have advertised with us, and we've just had to say no, we're not going to put you on because, we're just concerned that you're taking advantage of our people, and we just will not put you on here no matter what you offer. So it's a little hard sometimes to turn down a fabulous offer, but you got to live with yourself. So anyway, I know that you take good care of our listeners and the other people who are associated here on Radio Liberty. I think are going to do what they feel is the right thing for their customers. Well, you know, there have been so many fascinating things that are happening recently. A recent article in Foreign Affairs magazine this last month talking about, you know, what's going to happen to the currency, talking about a global currency. But what they were really talking about was a privately issued gold-backed currency. In other words, since you can't trust the governments to do the right thing, since you can't trust the central banks to do the right thing, because they've been going right along with this, printing all the paper money in the world, and you have to get back to something that where there's an anchor, so you can't print all the money you want to and create an artificial prosperity. The only way, because you're going to be able to have a solid medium of exchange, is something that is gold-backed. But rather than leave that up to the bankers or to the countries, it would be privately issued, and of course they would feel that you would be able to trust the private people more than you would either the bankers or the governments. Well, it would really depend upon who the people were who were actually issuing it, but the fact that they would mention that in the article in Foreign Affairs magazine, which is read by the elitists who rule the world, and they would mention it not once but twice, gave me the impression that there's some people who really are considering a privately issued gold-backed currency that would be the basis of the coming world economy. Have you heard anybody talking at all about that, Cal?
Well, no, not actually. You know, it's a great idea.
Well, if you have honest people issuing it, that's the question.
Well, you know, you can't be a politician. You know, the job description of a politician is you have to be a crook and a thief and a liar, and then you're in, you know. So I don't see that happening, even though it's a really good idea.
All right, it's going to be very interesting. Well, everybody's looking for a solution because everybody knows that the whole system is going to fall apart. It's not a matter of if, but when it's going to happen. And unfortunately, as with the people in Rhodesia today, as the people in Argentina 6 years ago, you know, and certainly the people in the Weimar Republic in the 1930s, why, of course, there's nothing new under the sun. As Voltaire said so well, every fiat currency eventually adjusts to its own true value, which is zero. And there's this only paper money. In fact, Bob Chapman was quoting one of the large investment concerns, large hedge funds, where they were taking 1% and putting it into gold, 1% putting it into silver, 1% into platinum. And the man who was running the hedge fund was saying, look, the rest of this is just paper money, but gold, silver, and platinum are the basis of real money. And so, you know, if half a dozen hedge funds started to do that, I guess hedge funds are working with billions of dollars, leveraged up sometimes to 100 to 1, or even larger. And that's how they make their money, is with this tremendous leverage. But if they have many times billions of dollars at their disposal, but if just a few of those started to go into gold and silver, they'd drive the price right to the roof.
Well, that's true. And if they're starting to do it, I mean, there's obviously somebody behind it that knows a little bit about what's right and what's wrong, what's real and what's false. So if they do that, they could easily skyrocket the price of gold and silver.
And I think it's really only a matter of time. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, maybe you disagree. Yeah. Well, that's all fine. We'd love to hear from you, because we don't have the answer to everything. But I do tend to agree with Cal that people are going to have to take a very defensive position. And don't think you're going to be able to to ride this flaming plane right down to the ground. You're going to have to plan on getting off, and getting off before it's too late. Getting off in time for your parachute to open, because you get too close to the ground, why the parachute's not going to open in time. And I think this is going to happen to an awful lot of people who honestly think that they're really pretty smart. I know people who are in the stock market today, or even managing other people's money in the stock market, and they're doing great. I mean, they're really making money hand over fist. The problem is that in an upmarket, with a massive increase in the liquidity and the amount of money that's out there, anybody can do well. In fact, you could just take a dart and throw it at the pages of the Dow Jones, and you probably do a lot better than a lot of the experts. But if you just, it's hard to lose money in an up market, but of course it's hard to maintain money in a down market. And the day is coming. The day of reckoning is coming. It's not a matter of if, but when. And certainly if Carlyle is correct, and apparently several of the other major corporations are thinking along the same manner. I talked to Bob Chapman earlier today. He was saying that Goldman Sachs had hired some very, very sophisticated money men to begin to study the techniques of benefiting and making money when large corporations and large concerns are going bankrupt. How do you utilize that to your advantage? So obviously they know what lies ahead. It's just that the average person doesn't. Well, what's your advice to people right now, Cal?
Well, again, I'm talking very firmly to people and fairly bluntly that unless you get out of institutions with your money and you turn it into something tangible, you're going to lose it in a matter of time, either with the inflated dollar completely eating it up, or they close the bank doors, or they restrict cash being taken out. And of course, our government can do that any time. Just say, well, if there's this war in the Middle East starts in Israel, that's the tinderbox over there, and it's just amazing that World War III hasn't started, because President administration in Israel, they aren't going to do anything to stop the flow of arms into Syria or Lebanon or anything else. They're just going to sit and take the missiles every day. And once that thing fires up, the whole world's going to get drawn into it. And then anything can happen in this country. And, of course, Bush would like nothing more than to declare himself a dictator and declare martial law. And along with that go all kinds of restrictions on the banks and financial institutions. And it can be upon us in just days or weeks. And for 99% of the people, there's no remedy. So if they don't have it in their hand at that point, they're not going to get it. And, I'm not crying wolf here. That's not the point. But, you see it as well as I do, as many, many people do, that these things are going to happen. It's just a matter of time. So why not get prepared ahead of time when times are relatively sane so you can do something in a rational fashion? Why wait till the panic sets in, and then just, you're going to get caught in the stampede, and then the only thing happens is you got hoof marks in your forehead. So it's a time to do something and to get out of the system, because the system is not in your benefit, and it never will be. And, of course, the dollar is false, too, as we've been talking about, and the only thing real are tangibles: gold, silver, food, medical supplies. People have to sit on the sidelines, have to get on the sidelines first, and then just stay there.
All right, of course, I think, really think that people would be wise to think about laying in gold and silver, but also to think about laying in food and certainly ability to get purified water and health supplies that they would need. Because if we get into a major world conflict, my concern is that you may very well go down to the store, to get your food, and those counters are all going to be empty, because there are no supplies of food in the stores. Everything is delivered on time delivery, so they don't have to keep large stocks there. But what happens, of course, if something happens out of this cycle of delivery, which it could happen so very, very easily? Well, once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, if somebody's going to get gold coins, what sort of gold coins should they get, Cal? I mean, should they get collectibles? Should they get Krugerrands? Should they get, American Eagles? What is the best type of... Or should you get a little bit of each? And should you get ounce coins or quarter-ounce coins or tenth-ounce coins?
Well, very good question, and that's what people ask me, you know, what do you recommend? And of course, I'm stressing right now for people to pick up as much gold as they can, as many, you know, as many gold coins as they can. I recommend the old gold or the numismatic, in the circulated grade, you know, like the extra fine or almost uncirculated, where you have some protection from a confiscation because they still are considered antiques or collector items, but the premium is very, very moderate, very close to spot. These coins also have tremendous upside potential, which I don't really stress too much because the last thing you want to do is sell your gold when these coin prices are going out of sight. Those are the gold coins I recommend, and then, of course, the junk silver, dimes, quarters, and half dollars, you have to have some of that, you know, half a bag or quarter bag or even a bag is kind of the most I ever recommend, which is 55 pounds. And those are going to be your barter coins. And the thing that I guess makes my recommendation a little bit different is it's practical and people can understand it and it makes sense to them. And I'm thinking, of course, to the day when the dollar is worthless, then how is it going to work? You know, the gold and silver that you have in your hand, in your possession, how is it going to work in reality for your family to survive? And that's why I tailor make my recommendation to people. And unless you can make sense to people, and if you're talking about these high mint state coins, MS 64, 65, 66, it'll cost you 7, 8, 10 times what you should be paying. People get coerced into buying those coins, but they never do understand or feel right when they buy them. They have this uneasy feeling. Just about everybody I talk to that's gotten burned by buying these investment coins, which are for collectors only, every one of them said, "Well, I didn't really want to buy these coins, but I got talked into it. You know, they sounded good, and they talked pretty smooth, and promised me the sky, but now I don't have the sky. You know, so that's what I talk about in my paper." I'd be glad to send my paper, you know, to anybody who asked for it. Just request it on that contact page on my website. And I'll be glad to email. I've got an email form now, and there's also those four documents that I had sent out. You know, the emergency banking order and the article on the Fort Knox gold. Articles from the 1933 New York Times. Article 43 also. All these are available on my website. You can just download them and then print them off. And these documents are critical because they pretty much tell how the government has the power to do what they want to do with your money, and you have no say in it at all. So if you want to educate yourself, you know, go to my website, take a look at these things, download them for yourself, and read them, because it's there in black and white, what's ahead of everybody.
All right, fine. And Chris, once again, your telephone number, Cal?
Yes, it's 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. I also have a phone that has unlimited minutes, so I offer to anybody, just call me up and say, you know, Cal, can you call me back? Because it doesn't cost me any more to talk an hour, more or less, so be more than glad to do that. And if you can go to my website, which is www.goldandsilverexchange.info. That's goldandsilverexchange.info. And you can browse through a lot of the information that's in my paper. And then if you want to request the paper in its entirety, I'll either send you a hard copy. A lot of these, you know, elderly people, they don't have computers, and so I send out a hard copy of my paper and then those documents to anybody that wants it at no charge. So I'm glad to do that.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's there's so much information out there, and so much of it's conflicting information. And my suggestion is that you look at it, you evaluate it, and of course, but the one thing I can promise you is that everything is about to change economically. And certainly, what we have believed in the past just is not true. Well, let's go to Ron, who's calling us from Richland, Washington. Ron, do you have a quick question? Ron, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm there.
Go ahead.
I'm here. You're there. I just had a question. What happens if the government passes a law and criminalizes the private ownership of gold.
All right, fine. That's a good question. What do you say to that, Cal?
Well, no doubt they'll do that. I mean, I don't have any doubt that that'll happen again. Just like Roosevelt made it illegal to own gold in '33 and called it all in. But as one old timer told me, who lived during that time, he said there was more gold buried in this country than it was turned in. So, you know, the people who know the value of gold are not about to turn it in so freely. So, the government will no doubt do that. But at least if you have gold in your hand, you've got a chance to survive.
Okay, thanks. Anything else, Ron?
Well, just one thing. I read a little bit, some history of the money, and the king needs money, and you've got it. He's going to take it.
He is sure going to try to, but that has always been the battle down through the ages, is between the citizen and the king, whether it be the president, or whether it be the emperor, or whether it be the dictator. And there's always been this struggle for freedom. And the key, of course, is monetary matters. But when the government violates its own laws, and the laws of the United States say, you know, that the only currency should be gold and silver, and then they refuse to abide by their own laws, and the president begins passing laws that are unconstitutional, well, you're just going to have to decide what you're going to do. The law of our land is the Constitution, Ron, and that's what you should obey.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks very much. And that was Ron calling from Richland, Washington. Now, Cal, we're just about out of time. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Again, I can't emphasize enough that people need to take a good hard look at where they have their money. And again, in what condition is their money? And we talked about fiat currency, electronic money. I call it imaginary money. And until you turn it into something real or tangible and have it in your possession, it's not yours. You can have a bank deposit, you know, book that says you have X number of dollars in the bank, but unless it's in your hand in tangible form, either cash, gold, silver, you know, food, you don't own it. It's just an illusion. Like you talk about, illusion is usually king. Well, that's, unfortunately, most of our lives we live under illusion that we own something when we really don't. And so when that system changes drastically, suddenly, are people going to be able to function? Are you going to be in a position that you have tangibles and at least you have a chance to survive for you and your family? Because, if you do have a family, loved ones, then you're responsible. If you know the truth about what's going to happen, then you're responsible for that knowledge and turning that knowledge into reality. So you're ready to go when the times come.
Amen to that. And who knows what the future holds. I will tell you that it's going to be a very uncertain future if, as I fear, we are moving towards World War III. I can promise you that there will be terrorist activity in America. It may all be staged by the CIA or our own intelligence agencies, as they've done in the past. Remember, over in Russia, they blew up their own apartment buildings and killed 300 Russians so they could justify going to war in Chechnya. They staged the Gulf of Tonkin so they could kill 58,000 Americans. They knew it was all phony, mid and South Vietnamese. Would they hesitate to do it again? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess it's Cal Grunfeld. Cal, thanks very much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you again next month.
Thanks much. We'll talk to you again.
And one more time, get your telephone number out.
414-234-8267. 414-234-8267.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. As I was Cal Grunwald. And this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out across America, Sydney, on a regular basis, 5 hours every day, 60 different outlets every single week, getting people educated as to what's really going on. Now, of course, to understand what's going on, let me suggest my talk on the financial tsunami. Comes with the syllabus in either a DVD or VHS, and then, of course, my pamphlet on the history of money. The book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book by Professor Sutton, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and the book by Andrew Dickinson White, written over 100 years ago, Fiat Money, Inflation in France, are seminal to understanding what is going on in the world today. However, understanding what's going on in the world is not enough. You ought to understand the spiritual forces behind what's going on. And then, of course, that takes you into the DVD, The Forbidden Secret, the new 4-CD or tape set, The Secret Behind the Secret, and then my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. Chris Pinto's excellent DVDs, award-winning DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, taking you back to Elizabethan Europe and then, of course, to America in the 1640s, right up until the time of the Declaration of Independence. Certainly, the Riddles in Stone is the second in the series of Chris's DVDs. We have a talk that Chris gave. It's available on VHS and hopefully very soon on DVD here at Radio Liberty. Atlantis Connection. The Atlantis Connection. Why? What's this have to do with lost Atlantis? Well, of course, the occultists believe that one time there was a great city known as Atlantis, and tremendous knowledge and wisdom and a wonderful society that was destroyed by a great flood. And, of course, some people believe that great flood was the flood of Noah. And, of course, that was God had destroyed the world because the society that existed at that time, at the time of Noah, was just so corrupt and depraved. And when our Lord was asked, how will we know when you're coming? He says, as it was in the days of Noah. Look around you, ladies and gentlemen. The depravity is more the rule than the exception. I was reading an article yesterday about a gentleman who divorced his wife so that he could marry Sybil, who was a goat. And it was an exploration of the philosophy of bestiality in the world today. What madness is this, as it was in the days of Noah? Well, that's why you want to see Chris Pinto's The Atlantis Connection. And then, of course, we have the wonderful things from Constance Cumby, one of my favorite speakers, for tape set, for either tape or CD set. And then we have the her DVD, The Emergence, because this is what they're waiting for, The Emergence. That is the return of the world leader, who they think, of course, it will be the Messiah, and we, of course, would recognize as the Antichrist. They're all available. If you'd like to know more, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you want to go to our webpage, radioliberty.com, if you'd like to get a free a catalog, or even a health catalog, or emergency food catalog, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because America is at war today. America is certainly under attack. Well, this is Dr. Stan Baker at Radio Liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course the views of our guests. And for the second hour this evening, we're going to be talking about financial things too, but from a different point of view. We have as a special guest Chuck Kupis. We're going to be talking about his book, America's Financial Reckoning Day. Hi, Chuck. How are you doing?
Dr. Stan, nice to be with you again and your listeners.
Well, it's always good to have you, and certainly it's a fascinating book. I think it's about time people understood that, you know, there is no free lunch. I mean, you can eat the free lunch for a certain period of time, but sooner or later, you're going to have to pay for it. And we've been consuming our seed corn for a long period of time. We've been living on borrowed money, and the day of reckoning is at hand. And so what prompted you to write this book?
Well, this couple years ago, I guess, I really put my nose to do this. And there were a few reasons. First of all, you know, it was America's unprecedented fiscal liabilities, which we're facing right now, on the tune of $66 trillion, twin deficits, asset bubbles in our capital markets, and, of course, global credit derivatives. I think they're approaching somewhere like $400 trillion right now.
Yep.
You know, Warren Buffett refers to these as weapons of mass financial destruction, and it's a breathtaking figure. Well, I've been in the financial services, as you know, for a while, about 20 years, and I think we all need to be concerned about these issues, either geopolitical and the macroeconomic issues that need to be understood. And there's some sheer frustration. Of course, these are complex issues, and it's frustrating to try and explain these to everybody, and especially in a short time. And so I just decided to put this in writing. And the second reason I wrote the book is perhaps more importantly, is in recent years and months, there have been a lot of books that have been warning about structural imbalances, our economic distortions in the country. And they're understandably, they write from a secular or technical point of view, and I think they fail in this regard to see things in a Christian or prophetic worldview. I think your listeners would appreciate this perspective, which I offer in the book, concerning the Middle East and oil and Russia and China and the Arab nations. And in fact, this evening I'd kind of like to talk about petrodollar, the petrodollar exchange system, and how that relates to this. There's books written entitled America's Financial Reckoning Day back in 2004, Coming Currency Collapse, The Coming Generational Storm, even a book, America's Coming War with China, by Ted Carpenter. And so we're facing some internal threats financially and, of course, external threats from our ideological enemies. And I sum it up with the love of money is the root of all evil, or as me and Pat like to say, follow the money, follow the power. And so the book kind of reads like a Tom Clancy novel on current affairs, but it's, in this case, truth is stranger than fiction. And, of course, a lot of evangelicals believe that we're living in critical times and that Israel is the super sign, as I like to say, that we're living in these times. And the third reason, of course, Stan, is to just offer some sensible hedging or investment strategies for investors, what they should be doing, could be doing right now, which I have included in the book. And that's some of the ideas.
All right, fine. Now, are you still working as a financial advisor?
Yes, been doing it for almost 20 years.
All right, fine. Well, exactly. You speak then from the point of view of somebody who's really looked into it. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Chuck Kupis. We're going to be talking about petrodollars, the petrodollar exchange. What happens if the dollar ceases to be the reserve currency of the world? Well, Chuck, you go ahead and pick the story up there.
Well, I think you're aware, probably it's appropriate tonight, that we speak on some of these issues, global issues, macroeconomic issues, because today was the beginning of the Bilderberg meeting, as you know, in Istanbul, Turkey.
going through Sunday, the 3rd of June. And you've, of course, written a book on this yourself, The Brotherhood of Darkness. And that's these are secret meetings held where they discuss central bank policies and geostrategic issues around the world. And one of the biggest concerns that we should have individually as Americans and our nation is really the future of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency held by the central banks for international transactions. And this issue really determines everything we're doing. It explains our fiscal and foreign policy, the strength of our capital markets, stocks and bonds, military deployments, strategic alliances around the world. And ultimately, I think it's going to determine our future as a nation. The survival of U.S. dollar imperialism, says Richard Russell, the stock analyst, says is the single biggest question facing the U.S. today. And he says, ironically, 99% of Americans don't know enough to even ask the question. So we really do need to understand the issue, and it's, of course, a major theme in my book.
Well, now, what does Richard Russell say? For our listeners, you know, when I first got started in this 40 years ago, Richard Russell was looked upon as an old man, and he is still looked upon as an old man. He's a lot older than he was 40 years ago, but of course he's still writing, and still one of the really great minds of our time, warning against the irresponsibility of the current policy. So what's Russell's take on what's going on? Do you follow him closely?
I don't subscribe to it, but it's the Dow Theory Letters, put out since 1958, I think. And it's Richard Russell, he's a hard asset man. You know, he's a gold bug and pretty critical of, you know, these distortions that exist. And I'm sure he's very much aware of this. I mean, I've read elsewhere where he's very much concerned about the survival of the U.S. dollar on international markets. We've enjoyed this. It's kind of a free ride. And I think the best way to understand this whole issue is that most commodities, gold and oil and gas, they're traded in U.S. dollars in New York and the New York and London financial districts, and particularly with crude oil. And this has come to be known today is the petrodollar exchange system.
We'll be back here in just a moment with Chuck Kupis here at Radio Liberty. Well, Chuck, go ahead and pick up the story. Of course, Chuck is talking about the petrodollar. And, of course, the petrodollar, the dollar, which, is, of course, is the unit of exchange in the petroleum world. And most countries, for many decades, have to have petroleum products, have to have oil and gas, and the only way you could buy this really was with American dollars, which made American dollars very much sought after, and American dollars then were the reserve currency of the world. Well, this is all changing. It's changing because in South America, while Argentina and Brazil have announced they're going to start, you know, trading among themselves using a basket of currencies. It's changing because both Venezuela and Iran are no longer using the dollar as the medium of exchange, but are shifting over to the euro, and other countries are beginning to do the same. It's changing because the dollar is overvalued, and of course, sooner or later, it's going to have to go back to its real value, which is about, 30 or 40% less than it is today. And with that, of course, will come the destruction of the buying power of the dollars that you're holding. And, of course, it's like somebody robbing you, putting a gun in your stomach and saying, give me half of all the money you have. And that's just what they've done. They've kept the value of our currency up artificially, whereas, of course, it's not worth anywhere near as much as we're being told. So you pick up the story there, Chuck.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, this really is the real threat. This really does represent our reckoning day. And it's necessary to understand we're recycling U.S. dollars on world markets through this petrodollar exchange. And this was set up basically in 1944 in the U.N. Monetary Conference. You have to go back to the Bretton Woods Agreement, which pegged all the world currencies to the U.S. dollar. And the U.S. had accumulated a lot of gold during World War II as settlement and payment for other nations giving us gold. So we had accumulated quite a bit. And at that point, we replaced the British pound sterling as the reserve currency of the world. Later in the 1960s, then, the Vietnam War, wars are always a good venue for spending too much money, monetizing debt, and that's what was occurring in the 60s under LBJ, his Great Society, also trying to expand the welfare state. So we were spending too much, we were exporting our inflation abroad, and dollars, most of the U.S. currency even today is abroad, the M3 broad money supply. There was $36 billion in this case against $18 billion in U.S. gold assets. And this was creating pressure, which was put under by OPEC and France and others, started to force the Nixon administration to close what they call the gold window on August 15, 1974. We basically then decoupled the gold standard like FDR had done in 1933. So we couldn't redeem our foreign dollars in gold specie anymore, and we took that away in 1933 as well. Someone has said that we were officially that announced officially our bankruptcy in 1971, and I think just since then we've been waiting for our reckoning day.
And I agree with it. It was August 15th. I'll never forget. I was out camping in the hinterlands of Canada with my son and one of his friends and a little portable radio. Heard that Richard Nixon had temporarily closed the gold window. It's only temporarily. We're only temporarily going to stop redeeming the American dollar with gold for other countries. Only temporary. We want you to know, only temporary. Sort of like, it was George Bush who promised we were going to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive. He just never said when, or certainly Bill Clinton said, we're going to get our troops out of Bosnia by November. He just didn't say which November. And of course, the temporary closure of the gold window is still closed. And I don't think that Nixon will ever open it again. You go right ahead.
Well, yeah. And that was almost like a poker game. You know, our foreign nations were calling our bluff, really, you know, to redeem the dollar. It was a paper standard. It wasn't even a real gold standard. And now that collapsed. And since then, we've had a floating currency. All currencies are floating currencies. There's no really gold-backed currency in the world. Well, in 73, because of our support for the Yom Kippur War, and a lot of people remember this, we had oil embargoes from OPEC. It was one of the first times they really used or exercised their power that way. And this lasted up until about March of 74, at which time Secretary of State Henry Kissinger established the U.S.-Saudi Arabian Joint Commission on Economic Cooperation. Now, this was sponsored by the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which is our de facto central bank today. And this was to encourage the Saudis and OPEC to continue invoicing their worldwide transactions in oil in U.S. dollars exclusively. This was an ironclad agreement. The agreement was Saudi Arabia and, consequently, OPEC in this case, the 11 members, would invest these oil or petrodollars in U.S. capital markets, that's the stock and bond markets, in exchange for U.S. military protection and the arms sales to the Saudis in the Persian Gulf. In other words, we're patrolling the Persian Gulf, have been, even trained the Saud Royal National Police, which is really just bodyguards for the royal family, and it's a protection racket, as someone put it, a syndicate. You know, that was the exchange we worked out. And it was economics professor Ibram Owies at Georgetown University. He coined the term petrodollar in 1973, which represent, again, the recycling of these dollars. Through foreign nations have to invoice in U.S. dollars, have to hold huge currency reserves, and then they recycle it.
And because they recycle it through American markets. They buy stocks, they buy bonds, they invest in America. Theoretically, that's what they're supposed
right.
to do.
I'm putting together a special report, which is going to be on this issue, I'm going to include a flow chart, because I think it's good to have a visual of how this might look. But the way it really works is the Saudi or OPEC cartel takes in U.S. dollars from foreigners. These are foreign nations like Japan, which has to import 100%, France 60%, and so on, India. And our own trade deficit. Did you know that what's our trade deficit right now, Dr. Stan? Something like monthly, it's like $80 billion?
Well, I think it's going to be about $800 billion. Yeah, it's somewhere about $80
billion. $60, $80 billion
right,
a month,
right.
A month. So half of that, roughly half of that right now, our trade deficit is going over to the oil-producing nations. And they're recycling it right back into the U.S. stock market. And this is why we have a sucker rally or a bear rally right now, hitting 13,600, I believe, yesterday. And the bond market and the GSA agency debt, that's government-sponsored enterprises, farm loan, credit loans and things, mortgage securities, Fannie Mae, Ginnie Mae's in this. They even extend money to the IMF to loan out with U.S. corporate contracts. This is like the Carlyle Group. You've heard of the Carlyle Group?
Oh, yeah. Frank Carlucci, James Baker III, Henry Kissinger,
George Senior.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, all of them.
Senior, too.
And John Major, I guess he's in it. I mean, this is the military-industrial complex where they are making all these, cutting all these deals for the contracts for the insiders. So the crude oil delivery on world markets takes, you know, about 45 days or more. So foreigners like the Chinese and others, they're holding T-bills, notes, and T notes, and of course current large currency reserves. It was Michael Hudson in his book Super Imperialism. He said that the U.S. debt and trade deficit is actually a good thing because the world sops up the excess depreciating dollars on world markets for crude oil and gas, and if the oil goes up, we benefit because it's recycled back in our markets. This is a protection racket. This is a syndicate. And right now, crude oil is denominated in U.S. dollars, strictly on the New York Mercantile Exchange, NYMEX, and the London International Petroleum Exchange, known as the IPE. The IPE was recently bought by J.P. Morgan, a consortium of Goldman Sachs, BP, Amoco, Arco, in about 2001, and they're operated by the Intercontinental Exchange based in Atlanta, Georgia. Their stock symbol is ISE. It's interesting that this is all the money powers are controlling and making sure the dollars come back to benefit the same people. And in around the world, I do go into this in the book, but there are three oil bourses or markers that trade in oil for dollars. And there's the Dubai crude oil bourse, the North Sea Brent crude, which is operated by Norway, and then the West Texas Intermediate Crude Oil Bourse here in the U.S. The word bourse means purse. It's a French word. But right now, as you mentioned, Iran is threatening to open up a fourth oil marker in euros. In the year 2000, Iraq, under Hussein, he switched the U.N. oil for food program in 1995, which had been going on since 1995, to euros. So he was collecting euros in considerable quantity, I mean millions. In January 2001, in Bush's first day of the Union, you might remember that he declared the axis of evil was Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. And Secretary of Treasury Paul O'Neill, excuse me, I've been reading his book called The Price of Loyalty, in which he recounts in his very first cabinet meeting in January 2001 that Saddam was high on the agenda and that he had to go. Cheney did most of the talking in this regard, and then Powell and Rumsfeld.
And that was page 96 of the Price of Loyalty, and they were just wondering how they were going to get the American people to go along with a preemptive strike on Iraq 8 months before, of course,
eight
the 911 attack on the World Trade Center. So you have to wonder, they were looking for an excuse to go to war. They needed an excuse to justify a preemptive attack, and wasn't it nice of Osama bin Laden to provide that excuse for him?
That was it.
We'll be back here in just a moment with Chuck Kupis here. His book, America's Financial Reckoning Day. America's Financial Reckoning Day. Chuck, pick the story up there.
Okay. I'd like to mention, as your listeners are still with us here, that they could call 1-800-775-6394 if they'd like to get a copy of the book, or go to my website as well at chuckcoppes.com. It's C-O-P-P-E-S. The issue of what William Clark now calls petrodollar warfare, written a book on that, in which he documents all of this. This was 8 months before 9/11, you have to remember. And there's a chapter in O'Neill's book that says, Finding a Way. It was high on their agenda that this administration had to find a way to go after Iraq, which is has huge oil reserves. And I know a lot of Americans say, well, we're just over there for oil. That's true, but we're over there for the petrodollar oil. There's a distinction there. The euro, as you know, became a de facto currency in January 2002. That is a circulating currency. Currency reserves and central banks really got underway. And, of course, by now, Saddam was really taking in the currency. They found canisters of millions of dollars worth of euros. They found canisters of $100 U.S. dollars as well when they were over there. So it was Cheney and Powell and Rumsfeld that demanded to have a link to 9/11 and this war, which finally... Sadly, in March 2003, we invaded Baghdad. By April 2003, we all remember Bush landing on the aircraft carrier and announcing mission accomplished. Big banner. And that's really accurate, because on June 5th in the Financial Times, they reported that the petro-euro trade had switched back to the petrodollars. And this was even despite the euro's rise, which Saddam made a good investment, you know, because the dollar was losing value. It wasn't... it was strictly to protect the U.S. dollar hegemony, U.S. dollar imperialism around the world. And this is the crack that's finally going to, in the foundation, that is most critical, most threatening to us, and most desperate. Dr. Stan, when you think that we had to lie, float these lies and reasons why we went into Iraq, and get the U.N. involved and everything else, just to protect... the implicit or underlying reasons here. This is pretty dark stuff. Even additional proof is that J.P. Morgan now runs the Bank of Baghdad and the Iraqi Central Bank. In fact, they're issuing loans against Iraqi oil assets. And we shouldn't forget that David Rockefeller is a board member on J.P. Morgan Chase there. So it's all just part of the same globalist and New World Order crowd. In fact, Bill Engdahl, he's written another good book. It's called A Century of War, Anglo-American Oil Politics and the New World Order. And he says this. He says, since August 1971, the dollar is no longer backed by gold. Instead, it is backed by F-16s and Abrams battle tanks operating in some 130 U.S. bases in 1,000 locations around the world defending liberty in the U.S. dollar, unquote. Now, I ask you and your listeners, should this really be our foreign policy?
Well, whether it should be or whether it should not be, it is our foreign policy. And they are using our military and financial might to force other countries to go along with the economic policies we're forcing on them.
Absolutely. Ron Paul is pretty well acquainted with that. He says we've become a welfare and warfare state.
Hold on, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, I guess, with Chuck Kupis, and Chuck, go right ahead with the story.
Well, Ron Paul is a unique candidate because he's always asking what, first of all, he answers every question and he says, well, first of all, we have to ask, know what is the proper role of the government. And what we have today is nation building, regime change, gunboat diplomacy, and it's a reckless policy. And it's one that's inviting enemies around the world, enemies that now... ideological enemies that can now have enough leverage to do us harm. They can't take on our armies. The neocons and the global elitists are now putting us in harm's way. And I think you have to gain a better understanding of why our troops are in Iraq and, of course, why we're targeting others. You know, it was President Dwight Eisenhower in his farewell address in 1961, and he warned about an emerging military-industrial complex and the concentration of power in the U.S., which we're seeing. He wrote this. He this conjunction of an immense military establishment and large arms industry is new in the American experience. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist, unquote. And this is essentially what we have. In the post-war World War II period, we inherited a large military-industrial complex. We were building, you know, we were on a war footing. And that pretty much, you know, exists today. And now today we're threatening Iran over their nuclear capabilities and enrichment.
I mean, Iran is a second-rate nation. They can't even actually build enough, you know, refineries to provide their own gasoline. And they have to import half the gasoline. And, you know, they got a 20-30% unemployment level. I mean, they really have nothing to export other than oil and rugs. And even their oil exports are falling down because they don't have enough money to actually be doing no drilling to replace the oil that's being used up. So, anyway, go ahead with the story.
Well, I think sanctions might work, you know, but even then, the UN, we have Venezuela, Cuba, and Syria all voted against sanctions. So they're siding with Iran, in other words. So we have some rogue states, and Pakistan's a bigger threat to nuclear capabilities than, you know, presently, right now. Well, it was in the summer of 2003, as I understand now, Iran is starting to require payments in the euro for European and Asian exports. For the past few years, Iran has been drawing up some plans for a fourth oil marker or a bourse that would be located on the resort island of Kish, which is a free trade zone, I think, in the Persian Gulf. And this would trade exclusively in the euro, establishing a petro-euro system for crude oil, strictly. And this would be a pretty bold stroke. They had planned to do this in March. The Persian New Year is in March 21st, and they planned to do this in 2006. They postponed it another year. They didn't do it this year. There's some structural reasons, but I think presently they're cooperating or siding more with Russia in their own move towards a petro-euro system. And I think this is an extremely important or urgent development that we're seeing, Russia's participation in this, and which shouldn't come as any real surprise. But Iran is it's the Axis of Evil member. It's in the crosshairs. I think it was North Korea that switched to euros pretty much in 2002. Seymour Hersh, writing in the New Yorker in early 2005, he interviewed some intelligence officials, and they were stating that Iran was the next strategic target. And it was later in the same year, Philip Giraldi, he's an intelligence analyst in the American Conservative, he revealed that we're preparing to attack Iran if there's another 9/11 attack. Always good to have a crisis, you know. And the Pentagon, he writes this, the Pentagon, acting under instructions from Vice President Dick Cheney's office, has tasked the U.S. Strategic Command, STRATCOM, drawing up contingency plans to be employed in response to another 9/11 attack. The plan includes a large air assault on Iran, employing conventional, even tactical nuclear weapons. This response is not conditional on Iran actually being involved in the acts of terrorism directed against the U.S., and several senior Air Force officers involved in the planning are reportedly appalled at the implications of what they're doing. And it goes on. But this is the kind of stuff that's being drawn up. And again, I believe with Paul O'Neill that Dick Cheney is really running the government.
Well, I agree with you. I think we're in very, very difficult times. And I believe what you're saying is true. Doesn't matter whether Iran's involved, we're going to use it as an excuse for World War III. Well, Chuck, why don't you go ahead here and continue along with your Say My Thoughts. And maybe when we get back from that, bring our shades on board, why we can talk about the North American Union and how that fits into what's going on. But let's take maybe three more minutes along this line, and then we'll go to the next subject.
Certainly will. That's kind of what things are leading to. You can tell by this that we're trying to protect the petrodollar exchange system as it exists now at all costs. Iran is closely allied with China and Russia through the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Talked to a lot of folks, and they've never heard of this. It was basically created in 1996 as the Shanghai Five, which is China and some Central Asian countries, Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, but now includes Russia since 2001. So that's what it consists of, and this is a direct answer to OPEC. They feel that OPEC's been too corrupted by the West, which is true, you know, our influence over the Saudi family. It's a new Warsaw Pact, and China cable TV calls it the NATO of the Far East. So this is really a counterweight to U.S. hegemony in the region. The observers right now, of course, include Iran, Venezuela, Brazil, India, Pakistan, and Indonesia. These are all rogue states. They want the euro as a transactional currency. So we're setting the stage for economic and potentially even military warfare, because this is the politics of oil, you know. Just today, in fact, Putin was condemning, what was he doing? Condemning U.S. imperialism in world affairs.
But of course, what everybody has missed is we're funding the Russians. I mean, why, nobody ever asked you, why is Russia the largest exporter of oil and natural gas in the world today? Where did this second-rate nation that can't even, develop its hinterlands, it'll get the money and funding and technology to put in pipelines all over the area to deliver their natural gas and oil. And I will tell you where, from the U.S. Export-Import Bank, from American corporations, from American oil companies. And we have all of the information from the U.S. Export-Import Bank talking about how they provided the funds and drilled the wells, and we have done this, welcomed Putin back in, knowing full well he, of course, was the former head of the Soviet KGB. We have once again, as we have going all the way back to 1918, worked to finance the best enemy money could buy. Go right ahead.
Well, the Ex-Im Bank's a conduit for multinational contracts, corporations. So it's all about the money, and of course, Lenin, what did he say? We'd sell enough rope to hang ourselves.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Chuck. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Chuck Kupis. Now, Chuck, I want you to go ahead and get out your website and your telephone number where people can get in touch with you, and I want you to repeat the number and the website twice.
Okay. The toll-free number, and they can call us during the daytime hours, Pacific time, but it's 1-800-775-6394. They can also leave a message there. There's on the extension, it's 800-775-6394. Then go to my website and get a signed copy of my book, and more information there at chuckkoppes.com. That's C-O-P-P-E-S.com. And this is a major theme of the book, because it's we're the most powerful nation in the world. Nobody militarily is ever going to come and conquer us, you know. But it's in this realm, and we have no control over economic warfare that can, I believe, will be committed, not to mention the peak oil issue, which is a side issue. But China is right now on a war footing. The military power, the People's Republic of China, 2007 Pentagon report was just released this week with some dire warnings. They can shoot down satellites, their nuclear weapons, they got aircraft carriers, nuclear subs. They're spending three times more than they officially say, and this is going to create some tension, especially over Taiwan later on, which I mentioned in the book. But it was Richard Hindenburg who wrote the book The Party's Over: Oil War and the Fate of Industrial Societies. And he says, while the economic advantages accruing to American elites from U.S. dollar hegemony has been mostly hidden from view, the impending end of dollar supremacy will affect each and every one in obvious and painful ways. Well, and I don't think we're not going to escape this. Your listeners are already feeling the pain at the gas pump, but they don't realize how this is looming on the horizon. If the petrodollar prop is removed, says Jim Willey, and he's a statistical analyst. He's really on top of this subject. The entire banking system could shift or will shift and would come as a deliberate shockwave to the U.S. Treasury bond complex and assets.
Well, I always like to say, if you really don't feel comfortable with oil at $70 a barrel, wait till it gets up to $150 a barrel.
Yeah, and this would all be concerted effort leading the way. China has the leverage to do this. The SCO, rogue states in Arab, our support for Israel, all of this is building on the horizon. These are problem areas. We could experience a hyperinflationary depression. In fact, right now, Russia has moved most of its, almost half of its currency reserves into the euro, trades majority in the eurozone. The euro is rising in power. And if it's rejected on world markets, because there's never been a reserve currency enough volume to really challenge the U.S. dollar, we could go the way of the Weimar Republic in 1923, perhaps even worse. And today I think you're aware of the problem over the tragedy, actually, over in Zimbabwe right now.
In fact, it was the United States State Department that brought that government to power and installed the Marxist, communist-trained thug Mugabe there over the objections of the Zimbabwean people, who had actually elected a moderate black man, Bishop Mezaweo, and that would not suffice for the American State Department, who had different plans for that tragic little nation.
It's always about, you're familiar with economic hitman and using, exploiting third world nations.
Right.
Through the World Bank, IMF, and this is the stuff we see. No wonder these nations hate the United States, you know. It's a terrible tragedy over there. Well, the globalists are preparing to exploit an economic crisis. I developed this in the book. On March or May 9th, just 3 weeks ago, this president signed the National Security Presidential Directive, known as SNPD 51, which now grants dictatorial powers to the president in the face of an economic crisis or any other. And it's identical. In fact, I looked in my own book, and I looked up the 1933 Enabling Act by FDR, which I have, and it reads exactly the same. It's just been a perpetuation of these emergency powers to the executive branch. And he says, Bush, of course, today says, you're either with us or you're against us. I mean, you're going to be either with us in this, advancing this agenda, or you're against us. And Dick Cheney, you know, I think he's running the shadow government. So, exploiting a crisis, I think we're beginning to see the emergence, or perhaps the reasons why, in fact, of the North American Union here in the U.S. And this goes back to the same think tanks, the same elitist groups, the Rockefeller Front organizations, you know, Council of the Americas, which you're well acquainted with. I think maybe your listeners are. But this creating a North American Union is really a step toward, just like CAFTA was a step towards the North American Union, NAFTA and CAFTA. These free trade agreements are what's building the bridges for world government or regional government. And Robert Zolek, is that how you say his name? He's the new former trade rep. He now is taking over the World Bank, and he's really been an architect in this area. He even comes over from the Ex-Im Bank. And they're proposing a 34-nation free trade area, pretty much trading block like the European Union. Of course, our own intelligence and foundations created the European Union as well in the early stages, funding and directing it. I mean, this must be what they're... You know, this is the same group meeting over in Turkey now, the Bilderberg meetings, and discussing how they're going to create these world entities.
You're talking now about the American Union, North American Union?
Yeah.
And what I think what people have to understand is that there are a group of people who have no loyalty to America. Their loyalty is this idea of a world government, and you create the world government by creating these regional trade blocks, and then doing away with national sovereignty. And, of course, everybody's making so much money, they're unconcerned about these ideas about freedom. And you have one in Europe, you have one in North America, South America, Africa, Asia, the Arab states. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know that these traitors, and they are traitors, have a different worldview. They hate America. They hate freedom. They want a one world government under their control with a new world religion and a new world leader. Go ahead.
That's the direction it's going. You've heard me say this before, that it's just corporate fascism by America's ruling elite to create a feudalist society, in this case, the elitist of all these other nations as well. A lot of the EU commissioners, even the Jean-Claude Trenchet from the European Central Bank is also at this meeting being held right now. You know, this is the elitist who gave these people the authority without the consent of the American people, as Lou Dobbs puts it, you know, to start drafting up these agendas. High superhighways and their summit held in 2005 on Bush's ranch say that they're proposing this community by the year 2010. That's just a few years away. And it was Robert Pastor, who's director of the North American Studies and American University, that's drafted a lot of this, which people can find out about. I think in anticipation of America's Reckoning Day, this is a major contingency plan to create a basket currency, probably revalue the currency like they did. Every hyperinflationary cycle goes through revaluation. First a devaluation, and then they revalue it to a new currency. So they're proposing to force the Amero currency, and I've heard reports, Pat has told me, and I've, that there's banks in the U.S. that are already holding the Amero currency in anticipation. This is how far things are getting. This is really progressive regionalization, as we know it, is what Brzezinski called it, harmonization. And there's not going to be any stopping of immigration. And that's why you're seeing President Bush saying, you know, we've got to do what's right for America, you know, with this immigration bill.
And what he's really saying is we are not going to do what's right for America. We are going to destroy America, and we're going to bring about what we want, what we elitists want, because I'm an elitist. We want, of course, to create an internationalist organization, a North American Union, do away with borders, and then later down the line, after we've equalized the poverty here in the North American region, and we've raised the living standards of the American without the Mexican peasant, then we can begin to unite America with South America and with Africa, and we can raise the living standards of the American worker to that of the African peasant. Go right ahead.
Well, this is the entire argument and agenda, really. In fact, Bush said, he said, those against his bill says you don't want to do what's right for America, and you're just trying to, quote, frighten our citizens. But it's really they that are up to mischief. Well, these are the groups, as you know, the CFS, the Council on Foreign Relations, and they're all represented in this, going back to the Royal Institute in England, the turn of the last century. And their goal is world government. Richard Gardner said in the CFR State Department report, the House of World Order, he said, must be built from the bottom up. An end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece. And these trade agreements, of course, do that. And this is almost the strategy of the London Fabian Society, which was to work patiently and slowly towards their goals. This is what I would call social engineers, just like Karl Marx wanted to restructure the world, but more like social Darwinism, where the elitists rise at the top, marginalize the middle class, and create a new Tower of Babel. And that's really what we're seeing right now. Bob Chapman says the elitists are simply going for broke, and I agree with it. If the North American Union becomes a trading bloc, which it will in an anticipated crisis, just like a Hegelian strategy, we can expect that the European Union is going to rise to power and prominence. It's going to be a radical... going to be a shift to a new reserve currency, and obviously you can see the trend going towards the euro. And it's a lot of this from a Christian point of view, America's decline is equally a moral decline, just like ancient Rome. You know, we're pretty much a post-Christian society, humanist. Some said even an almost an anti-Christian society. And this is more representing a judgment against the United States, and it's sad to see it. We love our country, and yet we see the dangers that are on the horizon. We're facing major political paradigms. The rise of the European Union has been underway since 1946, 1948. Joseph Redinger, again, funding from our foundations, were involved in this. They're headquartered in Brussels, Belgium. I think we have 27 nations now as a member of this. The EU Commission, Council of Ministers, and more importantly, another institution was the European Council, which formed in 1987. And they meet four times a year in a rotating six-month presidency, which was fairly easy to do when you had 10 and 12 members. It's getting a little bit hard to do this fairly with 27 nations. And so in 2002, they wrote up a convention on the future of Europe to propose a new constitution to elect a president of the European Council along with an EU foreign minister of affairs to represent the Union on the international scene, as they put it. These are two new positions that are proposed in the EU treaty, they call it now. They've dropped the word constitution. And I can guarantee you that they're going to force this through by the deadline, which is middle of June 2009, to have this. If they don't unite in this significant manner way, they could lose the political backing for the euro currency, which is all important to develop right now. And also, it's important to know that a world leader coming out of the European Union, out of the revived Roman Empire, is clearly predicted in the Bible as the Antichrist. And I know Constance Cumby has mentioned a lot on this. I don't think we can really know who that person is, but we know he's going to be, in an undemocratic way, he's going to be elected in a private election among the European Council, which is kind of like the ambassadors. And it can be an ex-person who's held power anywhere in Europe. And if I didn't know better, I'd say Tony Blair looks pretty promising to bring in, to join the United Kingdom into the Eurozone. But the European Central Bank is poised right now to replace the Federal Reserve System as the most important central bank in the world. If you think about it for a moment, if they get the privilege of doing what? Monetizing debt, exporting inflation, and basically running trade deficits or just operating in a manner like the U.S., they're not constrained by strict fiscal policies. And their biggest trading partner right now is China. That's China's largest trading partner. It's not the U.S. The euro consists of 12 nations, and their euro bonds now have more market capitalization than the United States. They also have a higher GDP than the United States. I don't think a lot of people know this. Talking to a guy the other day, he wouldn't want to hear anything that I was proposing in my book. And America's the greatest nation in the world, and so on. I asked him, what's the biggest economy in the world? And he said China, which is the fastest growing. But it's really Europe. Europe's rising as a world power. It's a dormant power to be reckoned with. Just 12% of the population has 40% of the wealth, 50% of the world trade, 39 of 100 largest banks in the U.S., 32 largest corporations, and 30% of all the major brands. Even the commercial aircraft has taken over Boeing. So it's pretty formidable what's developing here.
Are you suggesting that Boeing is being taken over by European interests?
No, they've produced more jets annually. Airbus did, yeah.
Okay.
And Boeing was the number one in the world. So these are significant developments. A combined army of 2.2 million would be second only to China. And they're actually proposing that under the European Defense Agency. And they want a convergence fulfillment, as they put it, by the year 2010. So we look at these things developing, the deadlines of 2010, this sort of thing. It's intriguing. China certainly plays a big part in this. Think about their oil needs. Think about their protecting their sea lanes and so on, and why they're building a blue water navy, and why our Pentagon is very concerned. I mentioned China, this issue with China and Taiwan, in at least three different chapters of the book, because it's not even on the radar screen. But I can tell you, it makes Pentagon officials worry a lot.
Right? But, some of the most incredible things as of this month. why, of course, the Export-Import Bank is going to guarantee a loan for $5 billion so Westinghouse can build, the five nuclear power plants in China. And, of course, we're guaranteeing the loan. China's got $130 billion in reserves. Why are we building a loan? Why are we transferring to them some of our most sensitive nuclear technology? There are many of our congressmen are upset, and the members of the Council on Foreign Relations say, oh, well, we've thought about all these things. You can trust us. There's nothing to worry about. Our guest has been Chuck Kupis. One more time, your telephone number.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Stan. The number is 800-775-6394, and the website is chuckkupis.com.
Hold that thought. Well, Chuck, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up your part of the program.
Well, there's so much to... I thought to myself later that I should have written on one subject, but there's so many things to report or to put to organize and put together and to present this, particularly with the Christian point of view. And
I think it's so interesting what you're saying about really the largest economy being Europe, and I think you're absolutely right. We're just not aware of that.
And they don't have a negative savings rate like we do, first time since 1933. They don't have as much vulnerability as the U.S. does. So we're really in a bad way. And, of course, our support for the Saud family is pretty critical. But if the U.S. goes down, there's not going to be any policing action in the Persian Gulf, or we're not able to support the Saud family. I think their days are numbered, according to CIA analysts like Bob Baer. We can't protect Taiwan over the Taiwan Strait and Taiwan Relations Act. That's another flashpoint. Of course, Israel's going to be isolated, can't look anywhere for support. The quartet made up of the UN, Russia, U.S., and the European Union is, if we have a conflagration, if economic warfare leads to military warfare, Israel's isolated, and we're looking at a peace treaty being enforced by the European Union. The Bible talks about a world leader coming. He's going to impose a peace treaty. All hell's going to break loose, and this is where I see things developing. Someone said the darkest hour is before the dawn, and we're facing some critical times, I think, perhaps within the next 2 to 3 years. I invite your listeners to check the book out, see what they think. Later I'm going to have this report on the petrodollar, which is important to relate. And finally, Dr. Stan, the only hope for this world is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
And that's the only thing that's going to get us through the very, very difficult times that lie ahead. And this is what people want. They want to tell you how to invest, and there's nothing wrong with investing. They want to tell you you want to have food and on hand, and there's nothing wrong with having food on hand. You should have it, but our greatest strength is going to be our relationship with our Lord. And if you don't have that, you can have all these other things, and of course, you're not going to have any real protection at all. Chuck, I hope we can get you on again on the other programs. It's always a pleasure having you with us, and I look forward to our time together.
Well, I love talking to you, Dan, and your listeners. Hope we can get into the balance of this stuff and how this might look.
Well, I'm going to have that report on the petrodollar as soon as it gets out. I'll give you a call. We'll try to get you lined up again on one of the other subjects next week.
That sounds great.
God bless.
God bless, Dr. Stan. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you've enjoyed our time with Chuck Kupis, because a lot of what he was saying is very important, and Chuck is just a nice guy, and I really enjoy having him on as a guest. Do you? Well, I hope you do, because you're going to hear about him again. His book is America's Financial Reckoning Day, and of course, remember the telephone number that we gave, and if you have problems, you can always call us, and we'll put you in touch with him. And if I was thinking of it, we'd be carrying the book ourselves. It's an excellent book. I enjoyed reading it. Well, this is the time, of course, we have to remind you, once again, that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us so that we can maintain our financial base and continue reaching people all across America with an understanding not only of the political, economic, and cultural war battle, but of the spiritual battle that's being fought today. and I really fear that we're moving very rapidly towards an expanded conflict in the Middle East, and I believe that's exactly what the men who control George Bush want. And remember, George Bush does not control anything. He is simply an agent of other people who work behind the scenes, one of them being Dick Cheney. If you'd like to know who Dick Cheney really is, you need to get the book Access Denied. You need to get the book Access Denied and read it through. It has a section there, and I believe the Transformation of Americans, one of the two, has an excellent session on section on Dick Cheney. And you've heard about his hunting parties. You really like to read about his hunting parties here. Anyway, well, maybe you wouldn't like to read about it, but I believe they're true. Under any circumstances, ladies and gentlemen, we are involved in a spiritual battle. There are forces of organized evil out there. You need to get, of course, my talk on the financial tsunami, the DVD, the syllabus, VHS, of my pamphlet on the history of money, the book The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and Fiat Money Inflation in France. If I could suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to put things in the proper spiritualist perspective, if I could suggest my talk, A Forbidden Secret, and then, of course, the new four-tape set, The Secret Behind the Secret, four-tape sets, four CD sets, and then, of course, we certainly recommend that people very seriously consider getting The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone. These are two very professionally produced video sets, and then, of course, the DVD, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, The Da Vinci Con by Pastor Joe Schimmel, and then, of course, Pastor Joe Schimmel's DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions, because they're truly, well, once-in-a-lifetime experience. Why? Because it's not simply the music leaders of America that have sold their souls to the devil. They're people at the highest levels of our government who worship a different God and who get their power and their position and their massive profits because of their relationship with the other God. And if you haven't heard my talk, as I said earlier, about the forbidden secret, you need to get it. And you need to get the other things that we've put together on these various subjects of the occult religions that are out there and of the fact that we are really involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com, that's RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like to get a free newsletter, if you'd like to get a free catalog, regular catalog, emergency supply catalog, emergency food, health food, health products, give us a call. And then, of course, pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.